Welcome to the Cannabis Therapy Podcast. I'm your host, Earl Carruthers, and I have been a serial cannapreneur in the growing, processing, and retail space for over 8 years. And we are here to learn together to get a well-balanced understanding of cannabis and cannabis products. Tune in every week for quality cannabis education for your canna inspiration. Welcome to the Homegrown Weed Summit, the first and only event in the world dedicated to teaching you how to grow clean, elite cannabis from your home, from seed to harvest. I'm your host, Earl Carruthers, and I have been a cannapreneur for almost over a decade now in growing, processing, and even retailing cannabis. We are here to get a well-balanced understanding about what it takes to grow elite cannabis from the best home growers. Let's get started. Hello, 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 and what up, though? I am your host, Earl, and today we're going to be talking about the physical, psychological, and spiritual benefits of cannabis as therapy. Yes, we're going to talk about cannabis as therapy. We hear it talked about, you know, medicinally. We hear it talk about recreationally. I prefer the word adult use, but we're going to really talk about it from a therapeutic point of view. And we're not here just to hear my voice talk about it. I have someone very special to discuss this with. Someone I actually clicked very well with before we had this this interview here, Matt Norgren. Matt Norgren is the founder and manager partner of Arcadian Capital and Arcadian Fund. He's been known as being an ambitious executive and also a well-accomplished athlete on both the college and pro level. He's personally been involved with over $4 billion in transactions and maintains a portfolio of approximately 35 plus companies. Yeah, that's a lot of companies. And it's very impressive to me is that he was able to transfer pretty much his sports background over to the corporate world to building highly motivated teams and also wellly skilled professionals, which is a lot easier said than done. Without any further ado, let me bring on Matt. What's up, Matt?
Hey, good to be with you. Thanks for the introduction.
Nice, nice, nice. I can't go any further without saying that as a fellow college cornerback, if you threw the ball my way, I probably would have picked it off. Just saying.
Well, we would have tried to have a route on top of you and one underneath you. We'd make you choose.
Oh, okay.
We'd make you pick. We'd make you pick and we'd throw away from you.
Nice, nice, nice. Thank you for giving me much respect for my corner skills.
Probably never. You know that old post corner, right? You know, which one are you going to do? I've actually seen, you know, it was we were playing Kansas State one year, and I was a freshman, but I think Chris Sims was the quarterback at the time, and it was the wide side of the field. He was throwing a post corner route. You know, you have a guy in front of the cornerback, you know, run up and sit at 5 or 10 yards. And then on the inside receiver, you know, obviously you've got the post corner. For those of you that weren't a cornerback or quarterback, that's what we do on that route combination. And so the idea is that you put the corner in a tough spot. You know, he's got to either come up and play the hitch or you take it, or he's got to drop and play the corner.
Yeah.
Terrence Newman was the corner that day.
Oh, man, got roasted, huh?
No, man, I'll never forget it. This guy was so fast.
What?
That he was literally able to sit in between both and sit on the and be able to outrun the ball to the corner and pick it off. It was the most incredible thing.
Wow.
So I guess speed does change that equation. You might be able to play both, but most people can't. It's really tough.
Awesome. No, that's great, man. Now, football's definitely helped me throughout my life. I'm sure it's kind of helped you too, huh?
Well, it has, you know, in particular because of the type of investing we do. I mean, frankly, you know, I was a backup quarterback, which means, you know, you become a leader, but you're not on the field. Vince Young was on the field in my case, and Chris Sims, and at the pro level, you know, Donovan McNabb. It didn't have a lot of chance, frankly. But, you know, what you learn is, you know, how to lead from the sidelines, if you will, or, you know, lead in service, servant leadership. I mean, all these things that, you know, people study, it really happens in football if you're a backup quarterback. And so I feel like that helps be an investor. You know, you really do want to be with your founders in terms of, hey, we're on the same team. We win and lose together. I'm never going to leave you. I'm here to support you.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, how do you do that if you're not in the fight every day? You know, in an emerging industry, it's not private equity where you're trading around institutional thinkers and deals and markets. You're building.
Right.
And so in that sense, you know, it's kind of nice to be able to know what it means to be a part of a team and operate and add value. But if you're on the sideline and you're not playing the game all day, you know, you can have, as you mentioned, over 30 companies, you're able to sort of, you know, be an important role for these entrepreneurs and operators who are in that game every day.
Right.
And so you can then kind of add value by removing yourself and seeing the big picture and being able to bring value, that strategic kind of, you know, relationship. There's a lot of things you can bring to the table. And I think I appreciate you bringing that up because it played a very, you know, crucial role, not only in being an investor, but understanding what it means to be, you know, a well-respected investor, caring about entrepreneurs, thinking big picture.
Right.
It's a, you know, balancing act.
No, and those skills, I mean, those are rare, you know, and it's not something, I guess you could, I know some people say you could be born with things, but those things have to be developed, and I can see that from on the sidelines. You still got to be ready too, you know, if, at any given moment, man, it's like you're just one play away. So.
Well, and that's business too, because there's been times where companies may not perform the way you want to. And so you have to have a structure in place where you're able to go in and, you know, make some decisions, tough ones. And sometimes that is, you're going to have to be taking over. We've had to do that before. We've had to take over companies and sell them and join boards of the company they merged with and go do a bunch of work and ultimately realize shareholder value. But sometimes, you know, the team that was on the field doesn't make sense for that job and you have to be able to go do it. Absolutely.
That's what's up. That's what's up. I wanted to get, I know we're kind of having our bromance here about football. I wanted to kind of get into the, let me pull my slides up here. Cool. I want to get into the physical, psychological, and spiritual benefits of marijuana therapy. And we're going to kind of get into, well, how we just jumped from that to talking about cannabis in your life. But I kind of want to start talking about kind of the compounds in cannabis and how they could produce a therapeutic effect from your point of view and from your understanding of, you know, investing in cannabis companies and coming to understand how cannabis does work with our bodies and how we could see cannabis from a therapeutic point of view and use cannabis as a therapeutic point of view as opposed to this, you know, I guess devilish weed. And then get into the three different factors of kind of mind, body, soul of cannabis physically, psychologically, and spiritually beneficial. So that's kind of what I want to talk about. Is that cool?
That's perfect. Yes, absolutely, man. Great topics.
Awesome. Awesome. So first things first, just using cannabis as therapy, looking at the cannabinoids and the terpenes and the flavonoids, how do you see cannabis with these different compounds as more from a therapeutic point of view, if you do?
Well, it's a great question. And there's a tremendous amount of science, you know, human science that goes into that answer. Fortunately, we don't have a ton of time today because it would take a long time to go through. And also, fortunately for me, have partners on our team who are much more well-versed in the deep science of the human anatomy and molecular science and all these things that can really give you that answer. But I encourage you to go seek this out. There is this level of information that you should understand. But effectively, you know, we have an endocannabinoid system of which has really only been studied, call it the last 20, 25 years. I mean, this isn't something that scientists have known about very long. And so as time has gone along, they've understood what it means more. But many, you know, health experts do call it the master control system, And the reason for that is the way those cannabinoids are utilized to communicate between cells and do all kinds of things. And what's really interesting about, you know, the molecules that this plant produces is they're exactly the ones that our body can already naturally produce.
Right.
And so you hear all the time, you know, cannabis can't kill you. And so far that really is the truth. Obviously anything can be detrimental to you if you don't use it right and you go driving,
right.
You know, you could certainly have a problem. But from the molecular standpoint, you know, it really seems as if there's a way, you know, to isolate these molecules, test them, make sure they're efficacious, and find delivery methods that can deliver therapeutic benefits, like you said. We've only scratched the surface. You hear new numbers all the time, but people say there's over 300 molecules these plants produce. Some say 400, and there's a lot. And there's at least, you know, 50 to 100 that are very active, of which you've listed a handful, and maybe there's only 10 that we really know much about.
Right.
And we call those rare cannabinoids, and we're involved with some companies like Creo and others that are doing really good work. You saw what GW Pharma did just the other day. They sold for almost $8 billion for this type of work. So it just tells you there's something very real here. And some of these companies are very close to being able to, you know, tell the world this is not just snake oil, you know, but we've gone through clinical trial work. We've put the effort in to be approved in certain ways. But what's interesting here from a therapy standpoint, you're going to look at these molecules and ultimately as a consumer, you know, it'll be regulated for you. But one would guess that if you were taking a larger dose of these molecules, that it will have a barrier that would be qualified as probably pharma. Right. You know, if you take 1,000 milligrams of something mixed with, but if you're kind of in the 100 milligram range, is that going to be, you know, allowed to be available to anybody 21 and older?
Right.
Which of course is partly because the brain needs to develop to that age. But, you know, we don't know for sure. There will be plenty of therapies and medicines from these plants that are available for you on Amazon.
Right.
And they're there today. But, you know, there needs to be a little more research just simply for the fact that it needs to be regulated so the consumer does know for sure, you know, what it is they're purchasing and what the result of that treatment might be.
Well, that's what's up. That's what's up. And I know you kind of mentioned about pharma, and usually in pharma, you kind of, you know, isolating different compounds. What are your thoughts as far as the entourage effect of, I know you mentioned over, there's a lot, you know, 300, 400 different compounds, there's flavonoids, there's terpenes, there's cannabinoids. Do you have any opinion of all those kind of playing together as more of a symphony?
Yeah, we certainly believe in the entourage effect. It's a real thing. And in an environment where you don't understand all of the molecules and how they all work together, then you're left with, yes, the entourage effect is incredible. And so you'd rather, you know, take a CBD or, you know, call it cannabis oil tincture, for example, that has a full spectrum in it, because you're not entirely sure where in your body you need certain molecules and how much of them. And there's, you know, and there's also something about the God aspect of this, which, you know, I happen to be very strong Christian. And I think about molecules and organisms, and there's a reason things are the way they are too. And so, you know, to break that up, certainly there's got to be more, you know, that may be taking away from the plant, but we don't have enough information right now. You've heard a lot of scientists, you know, be able to argue both sides, but I think right now we need to be open-minded as to say, you know, until we have more definitive answers, which today there's more research going on than ever before. We're probably closer. You know, I think we should be open to both methods, because they can both be effective, and it's our responsibility to understand, you know, which of these is better for individuals and when.
That's a very good point. Very good point. Now, with looking at that point right there too, as far as we're doing research, do we see cannabis from our understanding now of the endocannabinoid system, and we understand it kind of It's like this new 13th system of the body, per se. You have your skeletal system, you have your muscular system, your cardiovascular system, and now the endocannabinoid system seems to be, I guess, bringing homeostasis is responsible for that. Do you see that as the key reason why it's kind of more for like therapeutic use?
That's so cool, Earl, the 13th system. That's really good. And I haven't heard that yet, frankly. And that's a great way to think about it. And, you know, it could ultimately move up the rankings of which of those systems are more important than another.
Yeah.
It may not be the number one ever, but it could certainly be up there because, you know, this is the way in which our body communicates. You talked about balance, homeostasis. You know, it's a really interesting topic. It's something in life and in nature that really applies to pretty much, from what I understand, almost every kind of important idea that you may ever have. I mean, balance. And the reason for that is you have to look at your own body.
Yeah.
You know, how is your body designed? Ultimately, your soul is whoever you believe it is. But your body is science, and so is your brain. And you talked about something earlier, body, mind, soul. And, you know, they're equally important in many ways, but when you think about the hierarchy, you know, your soul is number one.
Yeah.
But how do you get there? How do you get there? Well, your soul is in this machine. It's a, you know, Deepak Chopra will tell you you're a timeless being in a timed experience, which is true. At least it's empowering to think that way, separating the soul and the body. Yeah. Because if you can understand your body, what is it trying to do? It's trying to achieve homeostasis. That's what your body's designed to do.
Right.
And after all these years investing in botanical wellness that Arcadian focuses on, you mentioned how many companies we're involved with. I can't tell you how much work goes into getting the highest quality performance out of this plant.
Right.
And this plant is a different organism than us, obviously, but it's still, you know, comprised of molecules and all kinds of things. And it's an organism. So why can we have every technology known to man for the seed, the soil, the sunlight, the water, the timing, some people are kissing their plants and making music. I mean, all these things, it's a living organism. So I think about your body. You know, how have we not been able to say, hey, human being, you just were born. Here's exactly the fuel your body needs the rest of its life to achieve optimal performance. And here's all the things not to put in your body.
Right.
Like, shouldn't human beings have the ability to say, I want to maximize my physical performance? And we just, for whatever reason, you know, these food pyramids are wrong. And, you know, the ability to drink and smoke and eat bad food and, you know, all these things that seem normal, actually, you'd never do to a plant. You would never do those. You wouldn't put peanut butter in a Ferrari. You wouldn't put bad soil in your cannabis plant. You wouldn't give it the wrong water or the wrong light.
Right.
You know, how much does you get skin cancer? I get it. Being tan is fantastic, but there's a problem. And so what ends up happening is, yes, your body's always trying to achieve balance, and the endocannabinoid system is a way for it to communicate and have that balance. So like in the case of a autistic child, you know, there are molecules from the medicine that GW Pharma had that allows the child internally at the cellular level to communicate to the system that it doesn't need to have a seizure. And so in many ways, what you have to think about your body is yes, balance, but you also want to stress your body because that's what you do to the plant, right? You want to add little stressors in that push it to be great, push it to do more, evolve, just like humans have. You know, you want to lift more and be stronger and all this stuff. But
right.
The reality is it's good to stress organisms, but what you don't want to do is stress them to where they break. And then what you definitely don't want to do is stress them in a negative way where you're a detriment to, you know, the machine's functioning. So the first part, as you mentioned, is the body. Get your body operating as it's designed. Don't put things in it that are going to not let it do that. And find ways to stress it just enough where you can advance and achieve physically you know, not trying to be Arnold Schwarzenegger or something, but for your body internally, just to let it operate and then it will thrive. The body's a miraculous. And then because all data flows into the brain, you have a little one in your gut, but you know, your brain is really your central processing system. But there as well, you have two brains. I mean, many people actually, it'd be surprised how many people, if you asked if you had two brains, would say yes. And you have a left and right brain. And you, and when you start to understand the brain, you realize that the way data is processed, you know, through your pyramidal cell into your brain, then it goes out into billions of neurons, it fires a response, and that becomes who you are. You're just kind of data going in and out, and that becomes you. And so when you realized how beautiful it is to be okay with that and separate your soul, now you can think about your brain. Okay, when you receive data, touch, feel, smell, anything, you were really designed to think about those data points, you know, critically and creatively. And ideally, the way your brain is set up with your frontal lobe and the way you can play with data points from the past and the present, the future, you're really supposed to think about them 50% creatively and critically. Mm. And so your brain is actually designed to be perfectly balanced. If you have a perfectly kind of firing machine in your brain, and nobody does, but you will literally recognize certain elements being critical or creative. And if you're thinking about them critically, you want to feel in your own brain, you're moving that data point over to think about it creatively. And what you end up doing, you actually start building, you know, synapses between your two brains, which allow you to feel enlightened and have perspective. You're using more of your brain. And from a data flow standpoint, you're opening up your chandelier cell, which can close data from getting in. And that's why a lot of people have these, you know, traumatic experiences out of sight, out of mind. Right. It's the chandelier cell that's actually clogging your ability to process data. And so with peacefulness and balance, that is the way the chandelier cell starts to open. So the more you have your body in balance, the more you can then flow into your mind and balance the processing of the body and all the other senses.
Right.
And when you truly get that, I'm just talking to you about balance because everything ends up being about balance. Right. Then all of a sudden your spirit, friend, you're on another planet. Yes. If you believe in Jesus and you're a Christian, for example, Jesus says you will go to heaven. And many people just say, God's going to solve all my problems. But I believe that you have to recognize, yes, you can go to heaven by just believing in Jesus, but you were put here. Your soul is in this machine, in this planet, with all these other elements of stardust. Do something with it. The beauty and the control of the balance of the body and the mind is that your connection with the spirit then is a whole nother experience. And then you can become not only great, but do your kingdom building work, you know, for your higher power.
That's a good point. I mean, when you talk about the kingdom building work and kind of being aware, it just seems like it takes a certain level of consciousness of that. Do you find that there was a point where maybe you became more of a conscious consumer of cannabis?
Yeah, became more conscious the more you learn. Friends, in life, you've got to have an insatiable appetite to learn, because with learning comes understanding.
Yeah.
And you have to learn first to understand, to have a viewpoint on certain things, to then tie all that together to have understanding. You really can't fully understand things without starting at the basics of it and figuring out why things are the way they are. And with the cannabis plant, it was the same thing. You become a conscious consumer when you learn about it and you understand that they're, like anything, are pros and cons. And then, you know, proceeding from there.
That's what's up. That's a good point. Now with, you know, say you're learning about cannabis, and there's a lot of different methods of cannabis consumption. Now, is there any one way or another you personally may recommend someone who's looking to start consuming cannabis? I know there's capsules now, there's edibles, there's vape pens, there's the old and faithful smoking. there's transdermal patches. I mean, suppositories. I mean, it's like there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. Anything to you that kind of stands out more from a therapeutic point of view that you would kind of recommend?
That's a great point. And, you know, it reminds me of the football days. You and I aren't as young as some people. And back in our early days, you remember the strength programs? What was your workout program like in the weight room, you know, 20 years ago, in comparison to maybe an offensive lineman's program? They weren't that different.
Yeah.
They really weren't. Right. Nowadays, you know, you go into one of these weight rooms, it's like everybody's got an entirely different program.
Right.
And so, you know, I feel like that's part of, you know, the answer to your question, which is in today's cannabinoid world, there are increasingly more options of ways that you can treat yourself with this sacrament, which is what, you know, I've become to believe this really is. And our Rastafari friends in Jamaica, that's what they call this sacrament, you know, and they're very concerned that people are going to misuse it. But what you have to do ultimately is figure out which form's best for you. There's no one size fits all. There's not even products that are designed that way right now because we just don't know. Right. So what you really have to do is take the time to go out and research the market, understand what your own needs are, because those will be different than everybody else, and then understand the products that are available to you. I believe you do want to have more entourage effect type products than less at this moment, because we just don't know. That way you get more of them. Also, as we talked about a minute ago, the brain is such an important part of, you know, this machine that our soul's living in, obviously, that, you know, if you do it the right way, you do want to bring the brain into the body. You want to have somewhat of a psychoactive experience so that you are that much more stimulated. The data is that much more vibrant. The data, you know, can be utilized outside your default mode network for growth,
right?
Which default mode network is basically another name for your normal stream of consciousness. You know, we always get out of it for different reasons. And if you do it healthy, you maintain that experience and you're able to grow in perspective. So, you know, the answer is you got to really spend the time right now, because there isn't Coca-Cola and aspirin and this and that. You know, it really still is anybody's game on the consumer side, because of the fact that, you know, the consumer experience hasn't been defined from either the consumer or the regulators yet.
Right.
And so go to there are DNA places. There's a company called Greenway DNA, for example, that you can send your, like, 23andMe, you know, mouth swab into, and it will send you your entire cannabinoid-based, like, needs. I mean, you could do that, and then you'd know for sure exactly what you need. Now you can really dial yourself in. So, you know, there's a lot of answers that you could have, you know, picked up on that question. But I think the main thing is to encourage people to take control of your own health, understand your own body, and understand these products. And that's the best way to benefit yourself.
No, that's a very good point. I mean, and it's, again, it's, I think the key thing is, no, there is no one size fit all, like you said. And it's different. You know, there's no judgment of, oh, this person only eats this or this person smokes that. It's just what works for you and helps you.
What works for you. And in that life right now, Earl, you and I, you know, here we are, come from different places. Yeah, we did football, but, you know, we look at each other as human beings, and we look each other in the eyes, and we're all the same, you know, but we're not. It's okay. Be whoever you are. Every little molecule in your body is special for you.
Right.
And that needs to be the way people think. One size fits all is not this planet. Every individual has something unique about them in some way. And that's what we should encourage. We should encourage people to be okay with that, be whatever that is, internally or externally, and think of yourself as that way. You know, there is not anybody in the world like you. And so don't think that way. God doesn't want you to do that. God wants you to ask big. He says it, ask big. If you're a person at home that's having a good life, you're looking at the world, oh my gosh, how lucky am I? Everything else is not going so good. God, I don't want anything more. I just want to stay where I am. I'm so happy. It could be worse. That's not what you're designed to do. You're designed to be an individual. You're designed to be special and unique. Everybody, down to the molecular level. And so you have to act like it. You have to ask for it, and you got to do your part.
Diversity. Diversity is what makes this plant so beautiful and what makes us as human or mankind beautiful as well. So yeah, diversity is key. Diversity is key. Now and we're talking about these three, and we're going to dig into each one. We kind of touched on the physical, touched on the spiritual, touched on the mind, the psychological. And I kind of want to like break those three down now and dig a little deeper into each one. And kind of starting off with the physical. Do you see cannabis right now from a therapeutic point of view too, of cannabis really being now helpful with pain relief, especially coming from a sports background and knowing maybe other friends that may use it for just the aches and pains?
Well, definitely. You probably, in this particular slide earlier, talking about maybe the most important part of the cannabinoid molecules, which is inflammation. And, many people probably don't know that inflammation, seems to be the root cause of everything, right? Or can be, part of what you experience from something is inflammation. So it's really critical for most conditions to deal with inflammation. And that is what this, cannabinoid molecule is really great with, which, can also influence pain. And, you hate to, nobody in life should be in pain, whether it's your heart, your head, or your body. There is pain, and that's just a reality in life. This is not supposed to replace, if you go get in a car wreck and your leg is broken, I'm not telling you to not use the pain that the doctors try, pain relievers, but you can use this as a way to mentally, deal with some of the other things involved in pain. And also you can get off of prescription pain relievers. I wish people didn't do them all, but not everybody has that pain tolerance, and that's fine. But you can get off them quicker. You can get off them quicker when the pain's not at a certain threshold. And these can be a pain reliever for most types of pain. As not the answer, but as a part of the solution.
That's a good point. It is. And we're not trying to say that this is a miracle, medicine per se. Some people try to get to the extreme, right? And the extreme left about it. And it's kind of like going back to that balance of, it can help you and maybe help you weed off of some of those, pharmaceutical drugs per se. It's a good point. Now, when it comes to, that pain relief, I know we're still studying it. And you said there's more research to it. We talk about THC, there's CBD, and there's so many more compounds. There's major, there's minor. From your understanding, is it more of, again, we're kind of going back to the entourage effect of maybe it's just a combination of it all, of the terpenes, and even a different level of a certain terpene versus a certain flavonoid. It's like this endless like Rubik's Cube that helps out with pain relief, it seems like.
Yeah, when you start bringing in terpenes and flavonoids and these types of things, that's where we just aren't, we aren't far enough along yet, frankly. There needs to be a lot of work done to, again, there's plenty of studies that support all these in different ways. But, we need to be able to come to conclusive evidence to make claims. And that has been a problem for the cannabinoid industry in recent years, the claims being made.
Yeah.
And, when you really care about this sacrament and it being able to help people, you don't want to sell it as a miracle. I mean, it is a miracle, frankly, but
right.
We can't let people think it's a miracle. Like if you're not doing your part physically and mentally, you're really not going to have the same result. And so, these terpenes and flavonoids, they change the experience. In many ways, even if it's just the smell, I mean, people don't realize how much, smell can actually influence the way you ultimately think about a particular experience or data set, maybe subconsciously, the way things taste, that's also data and that becomes part of the experience. And overall, maybe it's more about the effect But the flavor and taste and smell of things is actually still part of that data set. So there are, you know, a lot of scientific reasons as to why these terpenes are also influential. And I'm not going to try to butcher that for you. There are scientists and some people that work with me that do not know how to answer that perfectly. But
No, it's a good point. No, it's and again, we're speaking this, and we're not giving out, you know, we're not doctors giving out recommendation here. 100%. But even when you say, you know, about, you know, it is a miracle, but we don't really want to kind of, you know, portray it that way, where people can kind of take it the wrong way of almost. I mean, to me, like as a fellow Christian brother as well, it's like, yes, I have faith in God and faith in Christ, lived, died, and raised again for my sins and to give me life. And I do trust in God for miracles, but doesn't necessarily mean I will not take a certain medicine because I have faith in God. You know, so I think sometimes we, you know, just telling people, oh, you know, I believe in God, I'm not taking anything. Well, maybe God wants you to take that, you know? So, yeah.
He gave you the ability to, and he also gave you the ability to make a decision. That's what's great, you know, and you're up, you can make that decision. But if you make the decision simply because you think it's easier, which in many cases, I feel like people do that with spirituality in general, you know, you're really missing the point. You know, if you believe you're a timeless being, whether you think your soul goes to God or whatever religion you might believe in, what you can't dispute is this timed experience. And to not recognize that whoever your creator is, you know, put you here for a period of time, to not think about the fact that, well, why? I have a body, I have a mind, I have trees, I have things. There is material things in this world. They're not what carries into my, you know, timeless self, but they are here right now. So use them. Use them. You're supposed to, and you're not supposed to abuse them. So I think you're right on, man. And what a great topic. I hope, you know, people out there that whether they have great spirituality or not, you know, take away from this conversation, like how, you know, naturally these plants can help you get to a state of high quality life, but also the process with which you have to do that. You can't leave any of these three components out of a high quality life.
Right.
You can't just be the greatest spirit in the world and, you know, eat yourself into a wheelchair in a short life.
Right.
And not, you know, advance your processing system in the brain. You're not going to have a high quality life if you only just treat your body perfectly and you feel amazing, but you put terrible things in your mind. I mean, that's still the whole thing has to work, and they work together, you know, in really perfect balance to achieve optimal quality of life.
Balance.
Everything is balanced. Everything. You have to stress. People will say that you don't get anywhere that way. That's where the stress comes in.
Right.
It's important to stress organisms the perfect amount as well, so that you can evolve and be great.
Now, speaking of that, of stress and even, you know, going back to the physical body and how cannabis can help enhance the physical body. Nerve pain is another big thing as well. And having that chronic pain, and man, I've not experienced this myself, but I can empathize with those who do. And it turns out that cannabis itself is also helping people with MS as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, it certainly is. And, you know, we do have some work to do on that front, but, you know, glad you brought up this topic, because what a tough disease that is. Oh my goodness. And, you know, what did MLK say? We all have a chance to be great because we all have a chance to serve. And that was only a couple of weeks ago. And I think for whatever reason, it came to mind right now, because, you know, there are people with these types of conditions that deserve a chance. And what better purpose do you have than to put your energy towards something that has a chance to do that? And you pointed out one that it really can be impactful for and is doing some good things.
That's what's up. And then people can Google the endocannabinoid system and watch YouTube videos on it as well, and get the same information. So like how cannabis is doing this in the body, it seems to be the cannabinoids working with the receptors, come to understand there's a CB1, CB2 receptor, and they kind of work like as this lock and key, as if it's always kind of been meant to be. I didn't mean to rhyme like that, but
it's good though.
But yeah, no, I just it's kind of, and I just want some people, you know, just understand, you know, that. Do you have anything to kind of add to that, maybe, or you know?
I think you're right on. Go research it. Those receptors are exactly the things to think about, and how the cannabinoids, you know, interact with them.
True. And then you even have, you know, still staying on the body as we're about to move to the mind, is just being able to just relax. Sometimes we get tense or there's stress on the body itself. There's even people not working out now. Like to me, when I was in college, see, I didn't consume cannabis until after college. Until after I started, you know, growing. But I always, because I thought that it would have, you know, put a hindrance on my ability to perform. But I had teammates that smoked all the time before practice, after practice, before games. I'm just like, how is this guy running with me right now in conditioning? But it seems like, I guess now, you know, it kind of makes sense as far as it's helping them relax and kind of get into the moment. So yeah, I just, you know, kind of want to touch on how cannabis itself could be used to just relax, you know, the whole body by itself.
Well, it certainly can. But there are also cases, you know, of people that use cannabis and have the opposite effect, where they're, you know, wanted to go away, you know, anxious, gosh, I can't wait till this ends, you know. So, again, it just depends on the individual. And, you know, on average, just to this point, you know, they're just bear with me here, because these aren't, you know, this isn't a science, more of an art, but a lot of the studies we see indicate that in the world, based on the region, that on average, there's about 6 or 7% of the world's adult population has a, you know, relationship with the plant directly. Right. You know, some countries it's like 14-15%, some it's one, but you know, kind of on average. And what's interesting about that is, obviously, you know, the plant's been around for as long as we could ever remember, tens of thousands of years, longer than that probably, but people have access to it. And you could always smoke cannabis. It's not really a place on the world that if that's what you really wanted to do, you know, you could. So with cannabis going legal, you know, it's certainly good to be able to have products that, you know, meet certain testing standards and are healthy for people to utilize from a smoke standpoint. Personally, you know, I enjoy the flower, always have, but it's not for everybody. And so the thing about this industry is, yes, let's deliver the highest quality, most consistent, efficacious product to people who do like to do that. But lighting up something and smoking it does have other complications. It's not necessarily the best things on your throat or your lungs or whatever. I mean, that's just an honest answer.
Thank you. As I'm smoking, appreciate that. No,
but hey, no, <I'm joking. laughs> there's also worse things you can do for yourself. But you know, there are benefits as well. So the thing is that it's that other 93 or 94% of people that were able to say, "Hey, yeah, you could always get cannabis." Yeah. But guess what we got coming for you? You just mentioned them earlier, all the different things. If people are going to be surprised about how this ingredient set or these fibers from hemp make their way into everyday household goods,
yeah,
over the next few years.
That's what's up. That's true. Now, I guess moving on from the body and kind of now going to the mind and how cannabis could be used from a therapeutic point of view, to really bring balance to our mind. Do you see cannabis as kind of helping change in moods?
Yeah, definitely. You know, when you look at plant wellness, you know, botanical wellness, you could look at cannabinoids, you can look at psychedelics. I mean, there's all kinds of interesting things going on with relation to the mind and these types of questions. Ultimately, you know, what you find is that in individuals, if you do gamma ray studies, gamma ray activity on top of the brain to see the type of, you know, information that somebody's processing. If you find, you know, somebody who's like a Buddhist monk or a rabbi, a priest, a yoga instructor that had spent, you know, 10,000 hours to become an expert. You know, they really are that. You look at people's brain who are mindful and present and have balance and peace, all these things. And you notice there's a tremendous amount of activity on the external part of the brain. And that's because there's more information flowing. There's more synapses firing. There's more. And in individuals who are not present, just very distracted, not mindful, you know, these types of not balanced in the brain. You'll find that what happens is there's a chandelier cell, which is the first cell that the pyramidal cell comes into contact with in the brain as it's delivering all this data back and forth. And that chandelier cell starts to act as a self-prevention mechanism. And we still don't really know all this stuff, but a lot of tests are going on. That basically, if you have data flowing back and forth from the brain, you know, going in and going out and being processed and coming back and going back to issue a response to some part of the body, there's tons of pyramidal cells. They're all over the place. If it experiences a lot of negative data, and the brain can understand that, right? If it's receives data, processes it, sends it back, and you keep touching the stove over and over again, you know what I mean? Like, right. Eventually your brain's going to be like, dude, I'm not going to allow you to touch the stove anymore. You're going to kill yourself or lose a finger. And so this happens to, people in war, come back and have PTSD and seen things that, human beings should not have to see.
Yeah.
And they block this out of their mind. It's so traumatic, that data flow, the physiological effect of that is the chandelier cell can literally get clogged up. You can see it in your brain. Look like little gremlins, holding the, clog in the pipe so that nothing can get through, kind of thing. And the only way that has been proven to open up your chandelier cell such that you can have information flow even is mindfulness and peace. It's the only way. And so, again, pointing to the fact that the physical body is necessary for you to have the ability to balance your mind such that you can actually use your mind, or these little gremlins called chandelier cells are going to block your brain. And if you send psychedelics in there or THC, cannabinoids in there, it's going to get blocked. It's useless. It's useless. And so not entirely, but I'm trying to make a point here,
right,
that you still have to achieve peace and balance if you're going to start playing with the mind, if you're going to get outside that default mode network and get into other, consciousnesses or subconscious, whatever you want to call it. You're developing perspective, but you have to be present. You have to have vivid data in that experience such that when you get back to default mode network, you take that with you and you grow. That's how you grow. You're literally using more of the brain, because if you're not, you're not going to feel enlightened and you're not going to grow.
And that's a very interesting point. It kind of makes, there's a lot of things going on there. It kind of makes sense, even because you hear of people having, you mentioned earlier, come out almost having the opposite effects of being relaxed and maybe being a little more anxious. Or you hear people saying, yeah, I tried it once, but I thought the devil was going to take my soul, or I got, I kind of was thinking of more of the negative things. But it does make sense if you haven't achieved and going for that mindfulness and peacefulness, you could really have more of anxiety with using cannabis, huh?
You definitely can. You have got to prepare yourself physically. It's like building a house. If you're in a house and you've been there a long time, and you've been there 10 years, but you built it, you had a piece of ground, there was a lot of work that went into that foundation. You were there for it,
Yeah.
It took a year, 6 months, whatever, to draw it up and build it and lay that foundation. And once you have that foundation really strong, it's a part of the house forever. You stand on it every day, but you don't think about it as much. But you had to build that. And then you build the walls, the roofs, the sewers and gutters and doors. And now all of a sudden it's almost like, it's like your mind, you know, you've built on that foundation. You have to start with the foundation. Now you've got these walls and doors. Those are things you interact with every day, much, much more than the foundation. And then you start filling the house with artwork and your friend, your family, and the love comes in, and that's kind of your spirit too. Right. You can't have the love and the artwork and the spirit in a house with no foundation and no walls.
Right.
You can, but if you're going to be running around the world with no home and roof over your head, no foundation to stand on, no roof over your head, you're probably going to have a tough time, you know, having a high quality, in this case, spirit or family or so forth. So I think it's like almost these building blocks, you know. And then if you build it and you're like, oh, I got this great house. Right. Foundation seems to be good. The walls and the doors are working and my family's inside of it and they're loving me. If you let the foundation fall apart, you know, you wake up one morning and this beautiful house and the people in it are off in the sea somewhere, you know. But the reality is you have to maintain all of these things, but that's how you really have to build. And, you know, it's just really critical in that perspective.
No, it is. I mean, it's even scriptural, you know. The foundation, without a solid foundation, the storms come, the winds come, and you know, the house is just going to fall apart.
And that's a great one, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%, 100%. Yeah, and it even seems too, you know, there's certain terpenes or certain things that can allow you to be antidepressant, just as cannabis could be anti-inflammatory, but it still seems to be like this, like we all kind of have this, like a bell curve, like this sweet spot. And it's different for everybody, but if you get past that sweet spot, you know, you could be uplifted, you can feel happy, but then all of a sudden you get paranoid, and then you can get, you know, dry mouth or you know, think some. So I feel like there's like this therapeutic sweet spot for everybody. When it comes,
there is. You just have to be ready to receive the sacrament. You know what I mean? Like, prepare yourself. People need to do their part, and the more that you do that, the better chance you have to have the experience you're looking for.
100%. Now, when it comes to stress as well, do you find it as, on a psychological standpoint, you know, things just get to you sometimes. Do you find a certain benefit or a certain way to use cannabis to help take off stress?
Certainly you can, but If you're doing all these things in the right way, there's no such thing as bad facts. There isn't. They're just facts.
Right.
The power in the responsibility is how you respond.
Right.
And so obviously different people have, you know, different makeups, and there's different reasons as why it's harder for some people physically and mentally to do certain things, but in a normal functioning brain or a normal functioning body, you know, you have a responsibility to not blame it on anything else, but to start with allowing yourself to understand that, you know, like, you know, I saw something not too long ago. It's amazing. This mother, you know, lost her daughter in a drug driving accident. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I probably not any. Can you think of anything worse ever? Could there be something worse that happens than losing a child?
No, that's yeah.
A child being killed.
Right.
No, it probably not. I mean, there's nothing worse. And that individual went and created the organization MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Mm-hmm. And after all this time, you know, I was reading somewhere that she was attributed with, through MAD, saving 1 million lives. I'm not going to argue with that. Seems like probably accurate after all these years.
Sure.
So if you were to talk to her, if you interviewed her and you had to, you know, sit down, would you be saying, wow, MAD, you saved 1 million people's lives. Isn't that a good thing? Mm. You know what she might say? Is it a good or bad thing? I'll ask you the same question. Was it a good thing I lost my daughter? Wouldn't you agree that's the hardest, worst thing anybody could ever go through?
Right.
Yeah, I would. Well, isn't that a bad thing? Oh, it's terrible you lost your daughter, but isn't it good you saved 1 million people's lives? What's good or bad? Neither. The answer is neither. Nothing is either. yes, there are data points, and yes, you can interpret them however you want, but they don't matter. What matters is the way you respond to things. And so anxiety, yeah, I guess I'm not a scientist, but there are probably more people than I believe that are, you know, born to have anxiety. Maybe that's the case. But in the vast majority of people, there are things you can do if you will really commit your body and your mind to allowing yourself to operate how you're supposed to, and you'd be surprised how much less anxiety you might have. It's that simple. And if cannabis can help you get off drinking, which is just not good for you, there's drinks out there. One of our companies, Can, go look them up. CANN, incredible. Right. You know, if you can stop smoking cigarettes and smoke cannabis flower, you know, is lighting something and inhaling it the greatest thing for you? No, but this is certainly a better way to do it. If you can take opioids after your car crash for a couple of days and then move into plant-based pain, this is the things you have to do in order to get yourself where you want to be as a human being. And plants can certainly do that if you really do it properly.
Well, that's what's up. No, and that's it's almost that Shakespeare's nothing good or bad is thinking that makes it so. That's almost, yeah, our thoughts. And then even going back to Adam and Eve and kind of eating from knowledge of good and evil, like it wasn't our place to be naming things good and bad. That's God's place, not ours. That's what's up. I don't know. I just thought of that when you were just talking, which kind of leads us to now the last thing of spiritual effects of cannabis. And I know you mentioned the word sacrament quite a few times, and I kind of want to circle back to that. And your thoughts on what ways today we could use cannabis in this modern world in a spiritual way.
Well, you can see the world needs more human connection. And in doing so, more people that are thinking about receiving data and understanding what that is and then responding. So, you know, very pleased to talk about this topic, but, you know, God created the world, or whoever your creator is, the way it was. And for a very, very long time, long before we were around, the thing worked great. It was beautiful, beautiful ecosystem. Everything works. You know, you ever watch these documentaries on plants and stuff or animals somewhere, and you can't help but walk away and just think, that's the ecosystem of life. It's a circle of life. Right. It's always worked that way. And only in the last 100 years have we come along and taken control of it, right? And it's a good thing. Again, this is, you're supposed to stress organisms. We're supposed to advance and evolve. It's how we were designed. But just in the last 10 or 20 years, everything's been about disruption. Every business plan, disrupt, disrupt, disrupt. And, you know, if you really want to have a spirit, you have to recognize that things were created to be in balance, be in homeostasis, and then that way be connected. Everything's supposed to be connected. And we've disrupted it all. So, you know, the sacrament that is this plant, I mean, it's biblical. What I put on earth is meant for the consumption of man. Right. So we shouldn't argue with that. But the reality is it's been part of our ecosystem forever. And there's a reason for that. And we're only now uncovering that. So in terms of the spiritual side, I can tell you my own experience. But for those out there looking to use this plant for spiritual purposes, you certainly should be encouraged to do so, but like anything, get your body and mind aligned for before you think you can use this to solve your spiritual issues. It will probably just confuse you if you're not in a place that you're ready to receive the sacrament, just as if you were in God's kingdom and you showed up and you wanted to enter the pearly gates and God says, well, what, you know, have you lived for me? Have you done things? If you want to be aligned with the spirit, there are things that you have to do in order to truly be there. You can't just skip steps.
Right. That's a good point. I, some of that going back to that balance, we all kind of come into play. Is there, you know, I think of now, you know, we could use certain types of cannabis. And I think each one's kind of different. I know some may think, you know, there's indica, there's sativas, and it's, you know, it's hybrids. And to find that cultivar when you are in line, when your body's in line, your mind's in line, and your spirit's in line, and you're looking to enhance all three using this plant, it seems different cultivars work for different people. So I just, you know, kind of want to get your take on that, because some people may think, again, it's one plant, one kind fits all, but it seems to be very unique depending on the person as well.
Well, yeah, and that went back to kind of your anxiety question before, which is, gosh, I don't know, last I looked, there was tens of thousands of types of strains, you know, registered in different databases. And so part of, you know, somebody using these products for the type of effect they want is just it being consistent. You know, you're not going to have a Coca-Cola in New York be a different experience than when you're in Hong Kong, you drink a Coca-Cola. It has to deliver the same thing. And that's really not been the case in this industry until recently. So we really need to have consistent product. You could be, if you're a flower smoker, you could literally smoke the exact same flower 3-4 months later that's called the same thing and is supposed to be exactly the same, but it could actually be a little bit different.
Right.
So that's a part of the industry's responsibility, is giving people an option and having it actually be the exact option every time they wish to try that.
Good point. Yeah, being consistent. And as the industry now matures and we're kind of getting back to, you know, doing some more research. And again, this plant has been around and used for spiritual reasons for thousands and thousands of years. And, you know, kind of touching on that, just, you know, just the last 80, I believe 90 years, you know, it's been this kind of war on drugs mentality. It seems to be about more of the people versus kind of the plant, and then kind of corporate America and corporate and greed. It's kind of a combination of a whole bunch of junkery to how we get to this point now. And then you see things, and I'm asking you this because from being from Texas or playing in Texas and being in a very conservative state, and now you see like Idaho coming out with legislation that could just prevent any type of medical or adult use law that could even get over there. And then for being fellow Christian brothers and seeing that those within the church are still anti, you know, cannabis itself, is there any, I guess, ask this question, is there any ways that you see helping people understand this plant the way that you see it now from those who are still so anti this plant?
Well, it just happens with time. I mean, you mentioned Texas. I remember when I used to go back home to Texas and, you know, try to sit with friends and tell them about what we were doing at Arcadian and why they should allow us to work with some of their money in this industry. You know, you'd go to a dinner, maybe an hour, hour and a half dinner, and maybe it's over Tex-Mex, you know, which is amazing. But, you know, by the time you get done with somebody 5 years ago in Texas that you were trying to have a meal with and tell them about what you just asked, you realize it was very hard to even figure out how to start. I mean, you're an hour in, you're like, gosh, I haven't even brought it up yet. Like, I'm so, you know, it's very clear, like, this is a hard time. And then finally you do towards the end of dinner and they look at you like you're crazy.
Wow.
And you start thinking to yourself, you know, based on the data set I have, you know, I'm just speaking from that data set. And I'm looking at what we just experienced. Hey, did you watch the movie I watched the last hour and a half? Because, friend, you just ate so many things that are literally going to kill you.
Right.
You just had, you had four drinks. You mixed them. You had a margarita, you had beer, and you had some whiskey. You know, you now want to have a cigar after our meal. You poured, you know, cheese, queso, right? Can't find good queso in California. It's strange. But queso all over your meal. And yet you're going to tell me right now that what I'm trying to tell you about is going to kill you. Oh, my goodness. But that's part of the journey. You have to be willing to start with people.
All right.
That's step one, you know. and go with them on that journey. And over the years, we've seen that compound. People talk about things spreading like wildfire, you know? This is really doing that, but it's doing it in such an organic way. It's people, educating people. This is helping me. This is helping me. Could help you. And that's what's really growing here. I don't think we should try to expedite that process. Of course, we need more knowledge and more people understanding what's here. But we don't want to force it on them either. It's like faith. Right. You know, you represent it. You speak to it. You know. And that is been good enough to continue moving this industry forward. And I believe it will continue that way at the same pace it is.
It's a good point. Very good point. And I know we're kind of can wrap things up and kind of talk about some of the key takeaways. I mean, I think the main key takeaway here is the word balance, is through all the physical, psychological, and mental aspects of cannabis that could, using cannabis to enhance is still helping to achieve that balance. The most important thing is getting all those things in line if you want to get the most out of this plant. Is there anything else you think we should touch on as far as the subject?
This was a great conversation. I can't think of a whole lot more. If you know, if people just took away from this what you just said, then that is a massive step forward in your life. And you know, I can't think of anything more we want to add to the table today. Just eat that up and digest it. God bless you.
Awesome. Awesome. And with that said, this is, I want people to kind of stay in contact with you. If there's companies that want to reach out and kind of pitch to you, or if you're, I got your website here, your Facebook, your Instagram, the email's up here as well. Is there any other best way people can kind of stay in touch with you?
Well, yeah, our website's going to be probably the best way. On the website, there's ways to contact our investments team and, you know, various types of media. You can join our newsletter, which I do encourage people to do, because we send out, you know, information that is the important information the industry has every week or month. But other than that, you know, this isn't about Arcadian or us. This is about, you know, really this planet and the, and its organisms. And so, if anything today was helpful for you, pass it on, you know, reach out and help somebody, that's trying to, you know, do something good in this industry, because that's all we're trying to do. We just feed off these entrepreneurs. And I think because of how hard we work for them, investors continue to, you know, believe in us, and we certainly want to work with more investors, but it's all because of what these entrepreneurs are doing, and that's where the attention needs to be.
Awesome. 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 Said like a true halftime speech right there.
Yeah.
Or like when like the reporter interviews the quarterback after the game. Oh, yeah. It's not about me. It's the lineman. The lineman did good.
Oh yeah.
No, I love it. I love
it. Yeah, there's a lot of parody in football, you know.
I love it. Was there a certain point that made you kind of want to transition into cannabis businesses?
I just wanted to be a part of businesses that, you know, encourage people to have a higher quality life. Can't think of anything more than that.
Awesome. There you go. And then just a quick plug. I know we kind of talked a little bit about this. This is one of the companies that you invested in. Leaf,
yeah,
like a all-in-one grow kit. I got the website up there. I just want to kind of plug that out there for you too.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, this one's pretty exciting. 5 or 6 years in the making, and products are hitting the market now, and it's wonderful. I mean, this plant you can grow in your own home. It's a very complex plant, hard to do, but with a system like this, the size of a wine fridge, maybe. You can grow one up to 4 plants, and it does all the work for you. It puts it on your phone. You can just watch it happen, and then you're able to, you know, home grow your own sacrament. It's pretty remarkable, actually.
Awesome. Awesome. And yeah. And I think the next summit, I got to get somebody from there to kind of walk us through, how it works and
yeah,
kind of go from there. That'd be great.
Okay, guys, be in touch. Thank you for the time today.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. And I will see you, ladies and gentlemen, next session. Did you like this masterclass? Did you get some value? please do me a favor and share it with a friend. This isn't all. You can get instant access to bonuses and exclusive resources for each masterclass topic, such as action guides, checklists, and cheat sheets to help you make the next steps towards crafting your own amazing harvest. Thanks for watching. Make sure to join our free Canna Therapy Facebook group, a Canna community that helps you navigate the many options and hundreds of choices that come up with cannabis use by offering free quality resources. Thanks for listening to the Cannabis Therapy Podcast. For more cannabis therapy blogs and resources, check our website, cannabistherapynetwork.org. Cannabis Therapy Network.org.